Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Dear sisters and brothers, I'm very grateful for your presence here this evening. And I hope as we begin this Eucharist and celebration together that we realize this is a celebration of us as a church. And we are all indebted to and I would say heirs to the one great yes of our Blessed Mother, who on that day of the Annunciation said, "Yes, let it be done to me according to your word." For her yes, we are here as her children to celebrate the reality of the body of Christ, the church in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. In a very special way, I want to welcome Bishop Carmody, who is with us this afternoon, this evening, and it's always good to have you home. Home. And to my brother priests who are here with us, thank you for your ministry and thank you for your loyalty to Christ and to the church, to our deacons, to our religious consecrated men and women. And I especially want to recognize the Sisters of the Incarnate Word. This is their feast day as well, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And we've celebrated at Incarnate Word Academy today, your great feast. So Sister always said I kind of stole the thunder 5 years ago. So I'm trying to repair all of that. So Sisters, thank you. And to all the laity and your many, many expressions of fidelity, your many expressions of service in the life of the church, both here in the diocese and universally, and we'll say more later. But welcome to all of you, and let us continue our celebration together as we call to mind our sins and so prepare ourselves for the sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
God, who willed that your word should take on the reality of human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, grant, we pray, that we who confess our Redeemer to be God and man may merit to become partakers even in his divine nature. who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
En aquellos tiempos, el Señor le habló a Ahaz diciendo: Pide al Señor tu Dios una señal de abajo, en lo profundo, o de arriba, en lo alto. Contestó Ahaz: No le pediré, no tentaré el Señor. Entonces dijo Isaías: Oye, pues, casa de David, no satisfechos con cansar a los hombres, quieren cansar también a mi Dios. Pues bien, el Señor mismo les dará por eso una señal. He aquí que la Virgen concebirá y dará a luz un hijo y le pondrán el nombre Emmanuel, que quiere decir Dios con nosotros. Palabra de Dios.
Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. You delight not in sacrifice and offering, but in an open ear. You do not ask for holocaust and victim. Then I said, see, I have come. In the scroll of the book it stands written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your instruction lies deep within me. Here am I. Justice I have proclaimed in the great assembly. My lips I have not sealed. You know it, O Lord. Here am I. Saving help I have not hidden in my heart. Of your faithfulness and salvation I have spoken. I made no secret of your merciful love and your faithfulness to the great assembly. Here am I.
The second reading, a reading from the letter of Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sins. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocaust and sin offerings, you took no delight." Then I said, as it is written of me in the scroll, "Behold, I come to do your will." First Christ says, "Sacrifices and offerings, holocaust and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law." Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory. From the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child shall be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." The angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Part of my ministry over these years as a priest, I taught in a high school for 4 years, and I heard much about parents. And one of my responses to the young people when they would talk about their parents was, "Your parents did not pop out of a can one day, pre-made." Being a bishop now for 5 years, I understand my response to them. Bishops don't pop out of cans. They're not born, they are made. And for that reason, tonight I want to thank so many of you, and I don't mean to exclude anyone, but I can just say the Diocese of Corpus Christi for walking with me over these 5 years, and in many ways molding me, forming me, remolding me, whatever it's taken, and it's not done yet. Thank you for your patience and your love for me. In a special way, I want to thank Bishop Carmody, who, because of his yes to retire, I'm here. Because you retired, I'm here. And to my brother priests who have been faithful servants of the gospel and servants to their people in the parishes, to our deacons, for their faithful service as well, and to the consecrated men and women. I've always had a special love for consecrated life, having two consecrated women in my own family, and to all the laity and your many expressions that are here tonight, to the Equestrian Order, the Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre, the Catholic Daughters, the Guadalupanas, Knights of Columbus, fourth degree and third, and all the others who are here tonight, the Bishops Guild, who has assisted in bringing us, hopefully, under the stars and not under the rain, in a reception this afternoon, this evening, to the Sarah Club, supporting our vocations, Diocesan Council of Catholic Women, the Schoenstatt Movement, Catholic Charismatic Renewal, Legion of Mary, and so many more. What do I see when I look out? I see church. I see the body of Christ. And as we look around and see the diversity of the church and all of its expressions, we see the glory of that one fiat of Mary. I think, you know, many times the church can become very complex in all of its different expressions. But every once in a while, we have to ask ourselves, where do we come from? Certainly, we are born from the side of Jesus Christ. We are born through his own sacrifice of himself on the cross. So often we heard here in the gospel that Jesus said, I come not to do my will, but the will of my Father. And that has been echoed again today in the reading from the Hebrews and in the responsorial psalm. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Jesus learned that as a human being, and he learned it from his mother. The simplicity and the humility of that Virgin of Nazareth, who questioned the possibility of being that servant of God, putting her life at the service of the will of God. How can this be? And when she heard the response that nothing is impossible for God, she simply, humbly said, let it be done to me. We all know that Mary did not know the future. Mary did not know everything. But Mary was willing, generously, to put her life at the service of humanity, the service of God. And in that one act, God's will trumped human will. God's will was supreme over the human will. And for that reason, Mary today remains a model for us. As the Second Vatican Council reminds us, she is mother on a very affectionate level for all of us, hopefully. But she is also model. She is model of the one who puts her life at the service of God in his will, the service of redemption by giving birth to Jesus Christ, and the service to humanity as the church continues to follow the path of bringing the mercy and the love of God to others. And so 2,000 years ago, her simple, humble yes, let it be done to me, remains the hallmark, the model for every Christian. And as our lives become more complicated, and as our lives become more confused, as our lives become more polluted with so many ideas, with so much false teaching, we need, as a church, and I would invite us tonight to take a step back and live in the simplicity, the humility of that simple young virgin in Nazareth who said, let it be done to me. Sisters and brothers, when one says that to God sincerely and openly opens their life, we never know the beauty that God can create with any human being. And yet today we live in a world where the human will wants to reign supreme. As if we know everything. As if we know what's best. The true follower, the disciple of Jesus Christ, has the courage to stop, turn off the noise, reject the falsehoods, and simply stand in front of our Savior and say, "Let it be done to me." It's not that answers come quickly, but certainly it's the attitude of openness. And then you see along the way, you discern, and wisdom unfolds for us the plan of God in each of our lives. One of the most difficult things, I think, in people's lives is to understand, and this is the basis of the spiritual life, is to understand that God has a will for you. No matter who you are, no matter what stage of life you are in, no matter what vocation we have, God has a will for this life. God wants something of each one of us. And so we should not travel in time thinking that we can already map out every circumstance, every detail of our life. Because we cannot. We cannot. As we come together as church, we come as people who have inherited as children that yes of our mother. That yes that must remain at the very heart of our spiritual life. Even when we think we're doing good, it may not be the good that God wants. St. Alphonsus Liguori used to say, "The good is bad when it is not the will of God." We do not create what is good and best for everything ourselves. And therefore, the importance, the need, the necessity, I would say, as we move forward in this troubled world, that we do so in a spirit, the spirit of Mary. That we take that time to humble ourselves in front of the Lord and say, "Let it be done to me." And that is why we stand together. We stand together as church, as bishop, priests, deacons, consecrated men and women, laity, all the organizations. We stand together. We must always stand together. God has spoken to us, and he has spoken to us one word, and that one word is Jesus Christ. Two words. Jesus Christ. The answer to our life, the answer to our concerns, the answer to our problems is Jesus Christ. An image came to me this morning at IWA, at the Incarnate Word, and I'd like to use it again. Why did God send his Son as the Incarnate Word? And I use the image of texting. I know probably everyone in this room texts. And have you ever had those where you receive a text, and you return the text, and then they return the text, and you return the text, and it gets more complicated, and the answers get longer, and you get to a certain point, and you say, "You know what? I just better call." Everyone knows what I'm talking about. In various ways, the book of Hebrews says, God spoke to his people through the prophets, through the law. But in our day, the author of Hebrews says, he sent his Son. In other words, God picked up the phone and wanted to talk to us person to person, not through a text. That's who Jesus Christ is for us in modern language. He's not just a message or a messenger. He is the message. He is the messenger. And until we come to know him, and until we come to know his word, we will never know God's will for ourselves, for our parish, our diocese, for the whole church. We must know the Gospels of Jesus Christ. That is his word, spoken and incarnate in our world today. The Gospels are not just recounting stories about Jesus. They are a presence of Jesus. Those words are Jesus's presence. It's God's life for us. St. Jerome used to say, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Jesus Christ. We cannot know, love, and serve Jesus until we know him in his word. Until we celebrate his incarnation in the Eucharist every day. There we have that intimate meeting that we as Catholics have held to all of these years. He is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. This is my body. This is my blood for you. Come to me, all you who are wearied and find life burdensome. And yes, brothers and sisters, the same Jesus, incarnate in his word, incarnate in his Eucharist, is present in the poor of this world, in the marginalized, in the immigrant. St. Vincent de Paul used to say, the poor are our masters. We are not their masters. They are our masters, because there we can meet God. There we can meet Jesus. The Lord is incarnate and present in those who are ordained to share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, to be his presence, his voice today. And through our baptism, Christ is alive in each one of us, in each of our lives. Deep within us, he is there. The yes of Mary was the yes to the incarnation. The yes of Mary was the yes that God lives in us, with us, and among us. And as we march forth in this world of ours, we march forth together with Jesus among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Those are Jesus' words. That's not a commentary. Those are Jesus' words. When we are gathered together in unity, he is there. When we are divided, he's there, but we can't see him, know him, or understand him. And so I invite all of us, as we move forward over the next years, let us continue to seek the will of God in our own lives, to do so in humility and openness. And let us join together to seek God's presence, God's will for us as a church, together in humility. And let us look at Mary, the model of yes to God's will, the model of humility, and the model of a perfect response to Jesus Christ, her Son and our Lord. God bless you, and I thank you for these beautiful 5 years together. On December 11th, 2009, I got that call, which threw me into a chair. Thank God it was behind me. The response was an immediate yes. I didn't know what I was doing, as most people don't. But I can testify to you that these have been some of the most beautiful 5 years of my life. So let us all continue to say yes in each moment to whatever God asks of us, so that we may serve him, love him, and see his presence in each other, and especially see his presence in the poor. Thank you. And because this is a solemnity of the church, we now profess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, unsubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. Came down from heaven. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, let us offer our prayers to God the Father in the name of Jesus, our Emmanuel.
For the Church, our Holy Father Pope Francis, our Bishop Michael, and all Church leaders, that they may follow God's will in proclaiming our faith in our risen Lord to all people, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our nation's leaders, that they may follow God's will in promoting peace and serving those in need, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who suffer from lack of food, shelter, employment, or health care, that we may serve them as we would serve Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our community, that we may welcome the strangers in our midst as we would welcome Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Bishop Mulvey, as he celebrates his fifth year in the episcopacy, that he may continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit as he tends to the needs of the flock entrusted to his spiritual care, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life, that more men and women will answer the Lord's call to serve the faithful, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the faithful departed, in a special way, any members of Bishop Mulvey's family, that they may dwell with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints in the heavenly kingdom, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those intentions, we now offer from the silence of our hearts. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty and loving God, in your goodness, hear our prayers and strengthen us with your grace so that we may strive to say yes to all you ask of us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of our hands for the praise and glory of His name, for our good and all His holy Church.
Be pleased, Almighty God, to accept your Church's offering, so that she, who is aware of her beginnings, lie in the incarnation of your only begotten Son, may rejoice to celebrate his mysteries on this solemnity, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For the Virgin Mary heard with faith that the Christ was to be born among men and for men's sake, by the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit. Lovingly, she bore him in her immaculate womb, that the promises to the children of Israel might come about and the hope of the nations be accomplished beyond all telling. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. Therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and blemished sacrifices, which we offer to you firstly for your Holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace, to guide, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world. Together with your servant Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and Apostolic faith.
Remember, Lord, your servants, all those who are gathered here this evening, and all their families, that they will continue to grow in faith every day. For them, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves, and all who are dear to them for the redemption of their souls, in hope of health and well-being, and paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true.
In communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, and her blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon and Jude, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus, John and Paul, Cosmas and Damian, and all your saints. We ask that through their merits and prayers, in all things we may be defended by your protecting help.
Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that your whole family order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, his God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the Blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead, and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we, your servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty, from the gifts you have given us, this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life, and the chalice of everlasting salvation. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abraham our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. In humble prayer, we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angels to your altar on high, in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us who through this participation at the altar receive the most holy body and blood of your Son may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing.
Remember also your servants who have gone before us with a sign of faith and rest in the sleep of peace. Grant them, O Lord, we pray, and all who sleep in Christ, a place of refreshment, light, and peace.
To us also, your servants, who, though sinners, hope in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share and fellowship with your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon through Christ our Lord.
Through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord, you sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you. Let us pray. Confirm in our minds the mysteries of the true faith, we pray, O Lord, so that confessing that he who was conceived of the Virgin Mary is true God and true man, we may, through the saving power of his resurrection, merit to attain eternal joy through Christ our Lord.
Amen. May I invite you to please be seated briefly, as now we have representatives of the Bishops Guild who are here to express sentiment and also an invitation to us.
Good evening. We are Melly and David Smithwick, and we are from St. Elizabeth of Hungary, Alice. Monsignor Leonard Pavanka is our pastor. Your Excellency, on behalf of the Bishop's Guild, praise and thanksgiving that you said yes to lead us, and we are just so grateful. And on that note, Bishop Carmody, Bishop Skill would also like to extend a welcome home here. On behalf of the Bishop Skill, everyone that is in this beautiful cathedral, please join us for a reception over in the courtyard the following in honor of His Excellency. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. I think everybody's hungry.
I'm the one they tapped on the shoulder, so.
And you
Bishop,
said
on
yes.
On behalf of all the priests and deacons and all the lay people and all of our consecrated men and women, we deeply appreciate your yes many years ago, and
five. As I figure it, we have 9 or 10 more to go,
yeah.
God willing, and God's grace. And our prayers are with you as you continue to lead us as our shepherd. May God bless you, and of course, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and all of our people, for we are named after the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ together under our shepherd.
Thank you. Thank you. And I also want to acknowledge just the great help that I have in the administration of the diocese with Monsignor Kinnaman, Monsignor Feeney, and Father Patrick Donahoe, and Monsignor McGettrick, and Monsignor Roger Smith, also with the vicar for the priests, and all of you. It's just a humbling moment to be here with you today. I don't want to prolong this, but I also want to recognize our seminarians who are here. I think there's 4 of them, and they were in San Antonio, so they're able to get away a little bit easier. 5 of them, I think, but anyway, they're kind of slow and shy, but thank you, James. And Eric and RJ. Richard and Oscar, but they're shy, so. I also want to acknowledge and thank the diocesan staff. They're here in great numbers, and it's very wonderful working with you, and thank you for all that you do for me personally and for the priests and the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Thank you so much. To our choir and to all the liturgical preparations, Father Pete, Elizardo, the musicians, and the ushers, Father Hahn, thank you for having us again, turning on the lights for us so we could be here. And as the little five-year-old at Incarnate Word today, toward the end of Mass, I saw him get up and run. He went to Sister Elizabeth and he said, "How much longer is this going to last?" So let's ask the Lord's blessing upon us all and we can go to the courtyard.
Does that include the blessing of the food right now too? They want to know.
Yes, this includes blessing the food, so everything's taken care of. Enjoy. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Now and forever.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.